Writer H.L. Mencken was mean, sarcastic, grumpy, and often irresistible. A brilliant columnist, author, editor, and linguist, feared as a writer, some critics believe he created the first truly modern American prose style. From New York, Tom Vitale reports on a new biography of the man who was known as the Bard of Baltimore.
For people who are often convinced that they are surrounded by idiots, H.L. Mencken is just the ticket. He coined the term the bourgeoisie. Two of his favorite words were dolt and moron. And in the only known recording of his voice, a 1948 radio interview, Mencken derided human folly. For instance, people who write letters to the editor.
The volume of mail that comes in to a magazine or a newspaper or a radio station is no index of anything, except that you happen to attract a lot of idiots, because most people that write letters to newspapers are fools.
And then there was Mencken's opinion of William Jennings Bryan, who prosecuted Tennessee science teacher John Scopes in 1925 for teaching Darwin's theory of evolution.
It was a dreadful thing to look at a man like Bryan, a man with his opportunities in the world, to see what he had come to intellectually in his old age. It was a tragedy in a way, but I should add at once, it wasn't a tragedy to me. I enjoyed it tremendously.
Henry Louis Mencken was a satirist and cynic, curmudgeon, agnostic, and wit. Above all, says biographer Terry Teachout, Mencken was a skeptic.
He was a radical skeptic, skeptical about religion, skeptical about the meaning of life, skeptical about the value of democracy. That really got to the heart of him.
Teachout's biography, called The Skeptic, covers a life spent entirely in Baltimore, from Mencken's childhood to his early days as a newspaper man to his heyday as a columnist and editor of two literary magazines, The Smart Set and American Mercury. Teachout says Mencken was the most influential critic of the jazz age.
He was immensely powerful as a critic of what he called American Puritanism in the 20s. He is the voice opposing censorship in the 20s. He is the voice set against, and he coined this term, the Bible Belt. He is a voice speaking for a kind of cultural liberation.
While Mencken's weekly newspaper columns often expressed views that were ahead of his time, his private writing reflected the backwards prejudices of his era. In his diaries, which he had sealed after his death in 1956, Mencken made racist and anti-Semitic comments. He regarded blacks as inferior to whites. He called Jews incapable of civilization. Teachout says he began his biography in part because he was fascinated by the public furor that erupted when the diaries were finally published in 1989.
He did think these things. He thought them in common with a great many people of his generation. But he was born in 1880. He was born 3 years after the last federal troops of occupation were pulled out of the South, and he was born in Baltimore. The surprising thing is not that he said racist things. The surprising thing is that he published black authors.
It's a provocative book, and I think it's a beautiful read, and it contributes a good deal to the information about Mencken.
Vincent Fitzpatrick is curator of the Mencken Collection at the Enoch Pratt Library in Baltimore and author of his own biography of Mencken. Fitzpatrick says Mencken is simply too important to write off because he shared some disturbing opinions.
Mencken played a role of gadfly. He played it very well. He laughed at all of America when America became too serious to laugh at himself. And there's always a need for a critic like that. Unfortunately, in my opinion, we haven't found anybody who could do it nearly as well as Henry Louis Mencken.
In his early 20s, Mencken became an editor at the Baltimore Sun, managing a group of what he called drunken reporters. At the same time, he read and internalized the works of the German philosopher Nietzsche. Terry Teachout says these events shaped Mencken's views.
After that, he came away believing for the rest of his life in what I call social Darwinism in shirt sleeves. He thought that the world was a struggle for existence, a struggle for power, that some people were better at it than others, and that the best ones, like him, and he thought he was one of the best ones, would rise to the top unstoppably. And he thought that democracy was the structure that would keep the best people from prevailing in the world.
Mencken's most wicked barbs were reserved for the figureheads of democracy, the politicians. In this 1921 column, read by Vincent Fitzpatrick, Mencken reviewed President Warren G. Harding's oratorical style.
It reminds me of a string of wet sponges. It reminds me of tattered washing on the line. It reminds me of stale bean soup, of college yells, of dogs barking idiotically through endless nights. It is so bad that a sort of grandeur creeps into it. It drags itself out of the dark abysm of pish and crawls insanely up the topmost pinnacle of posh. It is rumble and bumble. It is flap and doodle. It is balder and dash.
The great joy of reading Mencken, says biographer Terry Teachout, is the vigor of his prose and his panache.
This is a man who just sits down at his typewriter and says exactly what he is thinking. And in an age where we're not very frank, where public figures tend to be very, very careful about what they say and try to spin everything, to hear the tone of voice of a man who always said exactly what he thought is enormously refreshing, even if he was wrong.
Terry Teachout says he'd love to have dinner with H.L. Mencken, but he wouldn't want to read what Mencken wrote about him in his diary after he left. And let's not forget what Mencken said about serious journalists who go into radio.
As soon as a television or any kind of radio enterprise gets into a newspaper, an enormous number of men, including some of the best men, become radio crooners, not newspaper men.
They become actors.
Actors, yeah. They get stage struck, in brief. That's the truth.
For NPR News, I'm Tom Vitale in New York.